for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, September the 1st, 1996. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim and Mildred Coffey from Millington, Tennessee are the teachers of the afternoon.
I was teaching at night in town and he'd go off to work. My fear was losing him, you know, getting killed. We live on highway and it was really dangerous on that highway. Still is dangerous on that highway. We still live there. We've been living there for almost 50 years. And I would say, I'd be praying and I'd pray over him, you know, Lord, take care of him, take care of him. I'd walk the floor while he was at school. The kids were grown at this time and I was praying all the problems of my kids. And I was telling God how bad they were, and if God didn't know. And he spoke to me as clearly as I've ever heard anything in my life. And he said, as long as you've got them, I can't do anything with them. He says, now, if you want me to work with them, you turn them loose. So I began one by one giving my kids and my husband to the Lord. And when Jim came in, I was so free. I was so happy. He came in and he was wondering what's wrong with me. And I said, well, you got my problem anymore? You got it. I called every one of my kids and I said, you're not my problem anymore, you're God's. Praise the Lord. That was what I was talking about back then, but it was true. And of course, you know, it's easy to do it, to give them to them, but then you go back and take them back again. So you've forever given them back to give them to Him and taking them back. But I praise the Lord for this morning. He was talking about our idols. And I'm not preaching his sermon because, dear Lord, I couldn't. But I got to tell you what the Lord dealt with me about. A confession is good for the soul. I raise roses. I have 177 rose bushes. And I really enjoy them. And I knew the Lord was dealing with me about turning them loose. That required a lot of work. And so I came to the Lord this morning. I said, Lord, they're yours. I gave him the deliverance ministry. I said, it's yours. I gave him my church. I said, Lord, it's yours. I gave him myself and whatever you want, Lord. But anyways, I just thought I'd tell y'all that if you had trouble giving your kids up, your idols up, I told this once before how God dealt with me about my idols and my grandchildren. A lady came to me a while ago and said, I remember what you said, and she was crying. She was brokenhearted again over her grandchildren. I made idols of mine. Even after I'd given the kids up, I made idols of my grandkids. We have 9. And I had my altar. And one of you got altars of your grandchildren, if you got grandkids. I had the pictures there, the everything there, you know. And you came in my house, you didn't say something about my grandkids. I'll tell you about them. Did you know, I want to tell you something. I gave them to the Lord, and do you know He took them all away? Jim and I are by ourselves. Now, praise the Lord. I miss my grandkids, but they're not my problem. We have a great grandchild we've not seen. We've got another one on the way. But I haven't seen my grandchildren in about 4 years. I talk to them on telephone sometimes, but I'm just telling you that when you give them to God, He can work. And He works in me, too. And I appreciated the word the Lord gave someone here this morning, because the devil's been telling me I'm too old to work, to preach, to minister, that I need to give it up. They've been taught, they say, you're too old, old woman. You're too old to be doing this. I'm young in spirit, though. My spirit man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's hard, but praise God. God is greater than anything anybody says about you or to you. Amen? And I do praise Him this afternoon. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. Here comes my boss.
We do brag a little bit. We have had 51 glorious years together. We've been married for 51 years. And we have just begun.
Amen.
I'm 72. She's a year or two younger than I am.
I'm younger than him. Not much.
But I don't feel 72 years old. And I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you what the Lord has done in our life. He's kept us young. And he called us into the ministry about 19 years ago, I believe it was, to pastor. We were in the ministry long before that. We loved the Lord and have for years before that, for at least 6 years before that. I was in church all my life. But I gave my life to the Lord about 6 years before that. But I just wanted to share with you that we have a wonderful life together, and it's all because of the Lord, because we didn't know what love was until we came to the Lord. And you don't know what love is until you come to the Lord. And God will preserve you, and God will keep you when you've given your heart over totally to the Lord. And I just wanted to thank Him for this young lady here that I have as a mate. And she's more than a helpmate. We're equal co-partners in this life together. And I just wanted to let you know that I don't throw this stuff off on her. The Lord has blessed her with a word. That's just why I say you preach, because God has given her fresh bread for you. And I don't know what she's going to preach today. I know that she has it in her. I don't know what she's going to preach, but we'll work together again today, and I just wanted to share that with you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you this afternoon as your children. Lord, we thank you for this day, because this is the day that you've given us, and we'll rejoice in it and be glad, Father. Lord, we trust in you with all of our heart, lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge you, and you direct our path. And Father, we just thank you for the Word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, that as you give us an opportunity to share, that the Spirit of God will bring forth that which you want us to hear. Lord, open our ears again as we pray this morning for them to be open in our understanding to hear your Word, that as it would speak to each one individually, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I thank you for your Word, Father, in the name of Jesus. I bind the enemy from harassing or trying to steal in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, for the authority that you've given us in binding. And we bind the enemy over us, around us, and everything within us that would try to hinder in any way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. I want to share this afternoon, and I'm not sharing anything that we haven't already heard. But you know, I thought this morning after David, the Lord, as the Lord finished, that I went in the bathroom back there. As Jim said, the Lord talks to me in bathrooms. And I said, Lord, what in the world can we do after this? And he said, the anointing is still here to do deliverance. So we're going through the sins of the fathers this afternoon as much as we can, some of them. And believe for the Lord to do some more real deliverance for those that want it. Amen?
Amen.
If you will, I want to read Exodus chapter 20. And believe you, the Word says, I spoke to this yesterday, that a curse can't cause us to come. And so we want to start, as I said, with the sins of the fathers. So let's look at Exodus 20, chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, this and the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. God said he's a jealous God, and he visits the sins, the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Jeremiah, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 32.
Let's back up a second. That word hate should be the do not obey my word.
All right. Thank you. I wish I had my amplified. I read it out that amplified. But we have to obey. God's word is God's word, and this is where we've come to. What did we hear this morning? To obey the commandments of the Lord. And so he said we are to obey him. And go to Jeremiah, it said Jeremiah 32. And let's look at the 17th verse. Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You know, no matter what your problem is this afternoon, there is nothing too hard for God. Absolutely nothing. And all we've got to do is say, Lord, your word said, you know, this is my prayer to the Lord. Lord, your word said it. He said, when he put me in the deliverance ministry, he used a scripture in Jeremiah 1:12 that said, he watches over his word. He hastens his word to perform it. And so he said, I want to put you there to tear down, to destroy the nations, to rebuild and to deliver. And so as we stand upon the word of God and believe God's word, God will do exactly what his word says. And he said, thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in word, for thine eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, we're always teaching on the sins of the fathers, that what our fathers walked in, it's handed down to children, but also the blessings that our fathers walked in are visited upon the children to the third and fourth generation. And I praise the Lord for the blessings. But this afternoon, as I said, we're going to talk about the curses, but I want to give you one more scripture over in Hebrews chapter 7 to show you it's so clear. You know, a lot of people say, well, that's in the Old Testament. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7, and in verse 9, Scripture says, and as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Do you understand that? That Levi was in Abraham's loins when Melchizedek met Abraham, and when Abraham paid tithes, Levi was paying tithes. And so we were in our father's loins when they committed good things or bad. And so this is where we see with the sins of the fathers, where God said the sins are visited on the children to the third and the fourth generation, that it's God's word. And when we said, well, I'm born again, so therefore they can't touch me. I'm washed in the blood. Well, that's true. But what about, why are we having some of the problems we have? When you go to the doctor, they say, well, did your mother have high blood pressure?
Yeah, that's right.
Or did your grandmother or your father? Or did they have, has anyone in your family ever had cancer? You see, they're telling you exactly what the word says, only they don't know it. And most people go to the doctor and take their word like they're God. But you have a hard time taking what this says. And I'm sure that most of you here this afternoon do believe in these curses that are handed down from the sins of the fathers. But if you don't, you need to start looking at your bloodline. You need to start looking at what happened in the family. Okay? This, to me, is just a very good illustration of it. But let's go one more. Let's go to Galatians. We're going back to the Old Testament, but to those who say that they live in the New Testament, let's find it in the New Testament. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That a man soweth, that shall reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Do you ever see some people that look, that the whole family has been going to church for years, and you can look at even the children, it's manifested in the children. Did you ever go to a funeral? I went to one time where there was no evidence of God at that funeral in the people. I had never seen this before in my whole life, but I went into this funeral with someone else, and I went in there, and I sat there for a minute. It was a horrible feeling in there. And when I came out of there, this is what I just really saw the scripture where God says they have no consciousness of God, over in Romans 1, where they just continually go downhill and are degraded. But the evidence of God was not there, and you could see it in the face of the people that was in that church. And so we know that the word, when the word says the sins of the fathers, those sins are visited on the children, or the blessings of the fathers are visited on the children, that it happens. And that's why this afternoon we're going to go after some of these curses, and we're going to call them off of everyone and say, well, I've been under them a lot of times. Did you know, until you make up your mind to get rid of it, it won't go? People say, there were some people left here a while ago that wanted some deliverance from smoking, and they misunderstood Glenn when he said we wouldn't start till 2:33, we wouldn't have the deliverance earlier. They thought you meant this too, and they were leaving. And when they said they came to tell me goodbye, I said you didn't get your deliverance on those cigarettes, and she said, but well, there's no deliverance today. And I said, yes, there is. But they were with someone else, and she said they had to go. And I really hate that because she wanted it, but we're believing she's going to get it. But I'm telling you now, you're not going to be able to pick and choose your deliverance. You can't say, well, I'm going to get rid of cigarettes, but I want to keep my alcohol. I've had people tell me that. And you've got to submit to the Lord and say, Lord, whatever there is, I want it all out. And if you like me and a coffee drinker, when they call it out, I'm always saying when they call addiction, get it off of me. But you know what? When I turn and go back and get another cup of coffee, I just open the door and took it back. So, see, I haven't been willing to give it up, but I give it to the Lord. And if I don't want it if he don't let me have it. I don't have to have it. So we ought to get rid of it all. Quite, isn't it? I'm one of those people who don't care. I just say it. I won't compromise the word. You know, I found out a long time ago if I would compromise. The devil even promised to build me a big church one time, thank compromise. He said, if you'll quit doing deliverance like you're doing it, we'll build you a big church. Of course, you can't trust the devil, so I didn't even comment. But I had been asked, we were in a little building, just had one bathroom. It was a big church with one bathroom. And I kept saying, Lord, we really needed two bathrooms. It's hard to go to church with just one bathroom. So then
never know when to go home.
That's right. So sometimes we stay half the night. And so then I got the position that they would give me a church with two bathrooms. But the Lord gave us one with two bathrooms. He really did. Praise the Lord. It's a small building, but we praise the Lord for it. Now, let's go back over to Leviticus. Let's go to Leviticus, okay? I'll tell you what's happening in just a minute. We're going to go to Leviticus 26. You know, I found that over in Ezekiel, it talks about that we are all accountable for our own sins. You know, Ezekiel said that you won't die for your father's sins. It's literally the way I interpret the scripture there. But here in Leviticus, and that's true, but you see, we have all these things attacked us. And God's given us gives us knowledge in His Word of how to get rid of it. And here in Leviticus in chapter 26 and verse 40 says that we're to, well, let's go to 39. Verse 39 says, and they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemy's land, and also the iniquity of their fathers shall they pine away with them. And if they shall confess their iniquities, confess your sin to the Father. You know, we do a lot of things that we deliberately do them knowing they're wrong. That's your iniquity when you're lawless, that you don't care what the Word says. And you need to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I sin. And don't say your wife made you do it or the devil made you do it. Say you did it. We blame everybody but ourselves for what we do. And you got to go confess your sins to the Lord. And then I use alcoholism because we deal with a lot of street people. And when they come in, they're all blessed. And it's hard to get them to even look at the things they've done as wrong. And so we've got to look this afternoon at the, what we did. We did it willingly. We have a will. The Word says, Paul says, I will sing in the Spirit, or I will sing in understanding. I always use that one. That's one I remember. That it's your will. You willingly do what you do. No one makes you do it. Maybe there's a spirit behind you encouraging you, but you can tell that spirit where to go. You don't have to obey it. So you confess your sins, and then if you say you're drinking, have been drinking alcohol, and your father was an alcoholic, say it like I do. My father was a drunk. He was a drinking drunk. Alcohol sounds so nice. But it's being a drunk, and y'all read the Bible on what God says about it. And confess your sin of what you did, and also your father's sin. This is what the scripture says here. For if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I have also walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised heart be humbled, and then they accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant. You have a covenant with God? God has promised us freedom. He's promised us healing. In His Word, it's ours. But we are so full of pride that we won't bow and humble ourselves before Him so He can work with us. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. This is the land that I'm concerned about. This is the only land I really have authority over. Oh, I have authority over my house. But this is my house. This is where I live. And I need to take care of it. This belongs to God. And we dedicated, gave it back to God. We surrendered to Him this morning. So therefore, I think this afternoon, I really believe this afternoon, that if we'll submit, God will do a work in really cleansing the land. If you really meant in your heart what you said to the Lord this morning, I believe you'll get free. Leviticus chapter 17. Let's go over and look at the blood. A lot of people are under curses from eating of the blood. And God said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. In Leviticus chapter 17, and beginning with verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul, and that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it unto you, given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh the atonement for your soul. And verse 14 says, for it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I say unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no man of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood. Therefore, whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. God says, we're not to eat the blood. The blood was used for sacrifice, for the covering of the sin in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the shed blood of Jesus Christ washes us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You know that one of the things I find that we really need to do is repent. And I don't think we truly repent. If we would really look at sin the way God does and be brokenhearted over it. Have you ever just wept over something you did that hurt God? You know how your children can hurt you? Oh, they can just hurt you and wound you. Maybe they don't mean to, but they do. Think about how we, as God's children, hurt Him. Because He loves us so much more than we can ever love our children. And we hurt Him. And so He wants us, He wants to cleanse us and forgive us. But I believe that He really, in John, in Matthew's Gospel, John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. Show God you really mean it. Turn totally away from it. Walk away. Over in Leviticus chapter 3, another one on the blood that says that it is a perpetual sin. That it, in other words, it's a curse, never-ending curse. Verse 17 of Leviticus 3. See, I give you scripture for everything I say. And you don't have to take my word for it. You just read it in the Word, okay? Mark it. I tell them in my church, write it down. Go home and see if it's true. You know, a lot of times when you're looking for the scripture, you don't have time to read it. I had to learn to be a little slower in finding scriptures because people, on Sunday night, we get people out from a mission in Memphis, and they don't know where the books are, and it takes them a while to find it. But you need to see the Word. You need to see it in the Word, that it is the Word. Verse 17 says, "It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood." So, you know, you say, "Well, I've never eaten any blood." Well, what about your forefathers? Did they? I tell this, now I'm going to hurry. There's a lady came to my house when I was having home Bible study, and she was like 70, 75. I don't call her old. I'm getting too close to that myself. And we were doing deliverance and on her after the Bible study, and we ran into this curse of the blood on her. And she told me that they had always eaten blood sausage, blood pudding. I never heard of it before. But as I was mentioning to her, by word knowledge, that's what I got, that she was under a curse from eating of the blood. And we called it off of her, and she got deliverance from it. And she had on slacks. And when she left my house, she was holding them. She had literally lost weight. And she had to hold her pants on when she left the house. And that was my first experience was running into a curse of only one from the eating of the blood. And I believe that a lot of blood problems come from it. High blood pressure, I don't know, but I really believe it. I know in the area of going after, I go after, when I go after the curse of the blood, and I go after high blood pressure and heart problems and things like that. I really believe it comes from that. But anyways, that's just my belief. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 23, and let's go after this, see this curse of the bastard. And I heard someone say this, someone talked about this, might have been Glenn, said he thought everybody was under it. But I want to read this, chapter 23, verse, afterwards, please, okay? 23, verse 2. "A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, and even to the tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord." The word says that a child born out of wedlock. Now, everyone is under this curse. We know this. Everyone. We don't know what went on even two generations back, let alone, you know, just one. So we need to, and another thing, if a child is born out of wedlock, I mean, conceived out of wedlock, and they marry, that curse is still there. So you still need to break it. So we can break it. The word says in Galatians 3, and I'm going to give you that one at the last, that Jesus was made a curse for us upon the cross. You say, "Well, then why am I under a curse?" Well, let me ask you this. Jesus went to the cross for everyone, didn't he? He died for their sins. The whole world sinned, right? Well, why is the world not saved? You have to receive it. You have to accept it for yourself. And it's the same way with having the curses taken care of. You've got to receive it, and we can break the curses in the name of Jesus Christ. And then, well, I always call the curses out. I started from the beginning. I don't know why. I just, when we would break curses, we'd just call them out, call the curse out. But in the next verse, in verse 3 says, "And an Amorite and a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever." You know, I was reading this one morning. I think it was the day I was doing this. I'm not sure. The day I was studying on this. And I asked the Lord something. I said, "Lord, I don't understand this. The curse, the Moabite curse, which is incest, you said it's, you look and you call it an abomination and you tell me what it is through the word." But I said, "Lord, there must be more to that, because we know Abraham married his sister, and we go back through the Old Testament and there were so many intermarriages there. What are you trying to tell us through this curse?" And so I began to go back and look through scriptures. And he began to show me what the real curse was, and I call it spiritual incest. Yes, the natural incest too, right. But spiritually, if you go back and look at Moab, you know that Moab and the Amorites was Lot's two daughters, children conceived by Lot. But go back and look through your scriptures and see where they went and what happened to them. And as I looked at it, I began to see that they ended up worshiping Molech and all of the different idols, which takes it all the way back to Satanism. They sacrificed their children. And I began to see why God hated it so, why it was when he was talking about it here that they could not enter into the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. And you can go back and run it back through, and you can see why, even up through to David, that the bloodline had to be cleansed because of this ancestral curse. But it also was such a thing that's done in the spirit realm. So dig into it. I've done a whole study on it. I'm not teaching that this afternoon. I just want to give you that to get you to dig on it. But I dug all the way back in it, and the Lord, because I wanted to know. I know that I've taught on this so many times that incest is such an abomination and it brings a 10-generation curse. But I wanted to know why that it was 10 generations when the others were, you know, 4. Okay? That's all I'll say about that. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 6. And let's look at some of these curses that we need to go against this afternoon. Maybe you've already had some of them done over you, but let's go against them again. In verse 6 it says, "None of you shall approach any that is near of kin to him to uncover that their nakedness. I am the Lord." And in the Amplified Bible, it tells you what uncovering the nakedness is. Who's got an Amplified Bible? Anybody got one? Would you read that verse loud? See, it says sexual relations in the Amplified, and that's what it says, what it's talking about, to uncover their nakedness. "The nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother shall thou not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shall thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness, the nakedness of thy sister." And it goes on and tells you that all of this is incest. Sexual relationship with any member, any blood, even if it's not a blood, if a father marries a woman that has children and the father has children and those two have sex, that's incest. It doesn't matter whether they're blood related or not. That's still family. And God calls it incest. And so, therefore, it brings a 10-generation curse. verse 19 says, "Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness." And you know what? That covers the period in a woman's life. There's no sex to be done in that time. I know this is men and women, but I'll tell you, y'all are all adults. And I'm old enough to be all y'all's mother. "Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her." That is adultery. Adultery destroys the soul. I'll give scripture for it in a few minutes. It wounds the spirit. And the soul, puts a wound in the soul. And if you have sex with someone outside of the, well, even if, in the area of incest and abuse, you need to break soul ties with the individual. Whoever you've had sex with that you're not married to, break an evil soul tie and ask the Father to restore your soul. Because over in Genesis 2, when God created man and woman, they became one flesh. And that's the way it was supposed to be through marriage. It was not supposed to be any other sexual. All this garbage they got today is totally of the devil. And he's doing it to destroy homes. He's doing it to destroy the children. He's doing it to destroy the relationship that God has given unto us. And so, but we're going to have to start undoing what he's done and break the soul, evil soul ties, and call your soul back. And let me tell you what adultery does to you. A man sleeps with someone other than his wife, or a woman sleeps with someone other than her husband. A portion of their soul goes into them. But not only that, if they have had sex with 14 people before, you are also tied to them. And therefore, it is an abomination. If God says don't do it, and you need to start calling your soul back. You see, we pay for all this junk because we've not listened to God's word, we've not walked in what God's word says, and we've not been taught it. I never heard anyone teach on the soul until just a few years ago. And when God began to show me that we need our soul back, and I'll share this, someone had asked me to teach on soul this afternoon, but I've done quite a bit of it over here, so I wasn't going to do it. But I do want to share this. We were doing deliverance on a lady that came into our church. They brought her to us from I believe it was a Methodist church. One Sunday night after our church services, we were in deliverance. The services was over, the preaching and everything except deliverance. And here come three women into our church, and they brought this girl into us, and they set her down there and says, "We want her delivered." And I thought, I can deliver. God's the one that's got to deliver, and I don't know anything about her. But I looked at her, and the very first thing God showed me was incest. And I didn't say anything to anybody about it, because I don't say, I see that on you, you know, if you don't know anything about deliverance. This girl didn't know anything about anything. Girl, she was 30 years old. Her mother brought her and another lady. But anyways, to make a long story short, she ended up in our church and wanting deliverance. Now all she wanted, now I got to tell you this, if you want deliverance from any other reason except to serve the Lord, forget it. She would sit on the front row to get deliverance, and she'd say, "I want this stuff off me so I can get on with my life." That's all I ever heard out of her. And we would try to talk to her about the Lord, and she said, I know God. I couldn't get her lost to get her saved. It was awful. And so we just put up with her for a long time. And we were doing deliverance on her, trying to do deliverance on her. And we kept calling her. We were calling her soul. We knew that she had soul kinds of things. But we wasn't really going after the soul. But one night we were ministering to her, and the Spirit of the Lord said to me, "She needs her soul." Well, she needs her soul, so she hadn't got it. And so we began. So anything that comes up, I always say, "Well, Lord, they may think I'm nuts, but I'll do it anyways." And I said to her, and I said, "I'm going to call your soul back." So we began to call her soul back. And eventually, we got her saved. We had to get her soul back so she could understand that she wasn't saved, that she didn't know Jesus. But it took a while. She didn't lose it all at one time. But she started losing it through the incest. The enemy, when the bonding was broken, the natural bonding that was supposed to be between the father and the child, because it was the father that broke the bonding, that child was up, she was up for the devil. I mean, she was just thrown, she had no protection. And so this thing came into her, the enemy came in, this comforter, the one I was talking about yesterday, this false comforter came in, and so they just continually removed her. So she'd been in everything. She'd had abortions. She'd been married. She'd had everything. Because there was not enough of her even there to receive Jesus.
Discern right from wrong.
She could not, she never, anything she did was okay. I mean, it wasn't, you know. Do you understand now why it's so hard sometimes to get kids, young people, saved and turned on to the Lord? Because you see, they may not have all their soul. I believe that in calling the soul back, and a lot of people won't agree with me, and that's okay. You can be lost if you want to. But I believe that one of the most important things we need to do is get a person's soul back. And I'll tell you this, the more of the soul that comes back, the less deliverance the person has to have. Isn't that true?
Amen.
We have found that to be true. The more we call their soul back, and as their soul begins to come out, they get free from whatever came in when that part of the soul was taken out. And you can watch the thing.
You replace one for the other.
Right.
As you get that demon out, or as the soul comes back in, you drive that demon out, or reverse. As the demon goes out, the soul, you can bring the soul back in. And that soul will not come in until that demon leaves.
But it's been amazing to me to see the difference.
And that person is restricted in that particular area of their life as long as that demon is in control. In fact, they're led completely by that demon.
Can I add just a little bit more to that in this way? This happened to that girl at 2 years old, and she was retarded at two. And a spirit came in called arrested development, and she did not develop mentally. And so we began to get her free from this stuff. She holds a job. She talks on the telephone. She called me, tried to call me up, and she would try to call me up, talk to me about something, and this demon would manifest on her. Well, the demon would talk to me over the telephone. It wasn't her. I didn't know it for a long time. It wasn't her. They said, see, I'm real smart, too. I talked to her telephone, and I said, I'll shut up and let me talk. But I never could talk. She just yuck, 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 yuck. And that was protection to keep her from hearing anything that she I could say to her to help her. I'm telling you. Anyways. But we need our soul back, and every time anyone has committed adultery with anyone, a portion of their soul is they've formed a soul tie with them. And a portion of their soul goes into that individual, and a part of that individual's soul comes into them, and it needs to be broken and gotten out. And going on, over in verse 22, let me back up to verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Murder of children. And I don't really have time to get to scripture or not, but in this area, this passing the seed through killing the children, abortion is, you know, I believe every child that's sacrificed, that's aborted is a sacrifice to the devil. And it just makes me so angry that people, it's murder, right? And they're destroying a life. But I believe that it goes back to this sacrificing children to Molech, which if you follow it all the way back, it goes back to Satanism. And the blood is used against the mother that's had it. I've ministered to girls that's had abortion, and they have literally, listen ladies, they have literally relived the experience of having that abortion. One girl came to me, she came from over here in Arkansas to Tennessee and to us, and I ministered to her. She had two abortions, and that girl was, she told me after it was over, she said, you just don't know what I lived through. But she said, I thank God that I'm free from that. But can you imagine two? But it's murder. You need to repent. If you've ever had one, thank God for His forgiveness. Listen, folks, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm telling you there's help, okay?
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.